Welcome to another installment of the Smash and Grab Show from BetaSyndicate.com. I'm your host, Jeffrey Kaufman, the founder of BetaSyndicate.com and longtime freelance writer. I've been in the blockchain industry since 2012. So I've been here for quite a while, and you can imagine probably I have a lot of opinions. There are a lot of things that I would like to say and talk about in this show. I think there are a lot of things that need to be said. But we're going to touch on a few things. I'm going to talk about my thoughts of Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter. I'm also going to talk about media influencers, mainstream media influencers like John Fort, a show I just watched. His On the Other Hand, or whatever the show is. I really don't watch him anymore ever since one of the other shows he's done. I understand having opposing views, and that's important, and having different opinions is definitely important. But what I witnessed today was someone just charismatically shaming an entire industry, which in my mind is nothing short of manipulation, because you really... You know, you're welcome to have as many opinions as you want, but you only have one asshole. And at the end of the day, that's basically what you add up to. I'm being honest. I mean, you could sit there and tell me that the color of a flower in four different versions and viewpoints, but at the end of the day, it's just what it is. When I hear a commentator or I hear someone in mainstream media attacking blockchain in the industry as a whole, based on what they perceive in the markets, I always think that's a really good time to remind everybody that blockchain does not give a fuck about the markets. The blockchain doesn't give a shit about whether or not Bitcoin is going up or down. Blockchain doesn't give a flying fuck about what someone like John Fort might say on his show, because blockchain in itself is an industry. It's not the markets. The markets are a reflection of speculative assets. They are not a reflection of the actual industry that is blockchain. And it's a shame that people like John Fort can't correlate or understand the difference or even comprehend why the industry is not the same as the market. The market is a reflection of speculative assets. The industry is its own beast. And it's really a shame that you have people in mainstream media. And it's not just John Fort. I'm not going to go into details, but there are other people that I've caught this on their shows before, like Bill Maher. I don't even tune into him anymore because of his whole thing about Bitcoin being a scam. I'm not a Bitcoin maxi. I'm really not a champion of Bitcoin. I am and I'm not. I understand what Bitcoin has brought to the industrialized world. I understand what Bitcoin stands for, but Bitcoin in itself is not a reflection of the actual industry. It's a reflection of a speculative asset or a commodity, as the SEC has now called Bitcoin to be a commodity. Well, you know, there are a lot of tokens and coins out there, coins out there that add up to the same definition as a commodity. I'm just going to throw one out there, and I'm just going to say this. If the SEC wants to say that Bitcoin is a commodity, then that also would go with Digibyte being a commodity. Oh, no, wait a minute. They had a pre-sale. Oh, God, oh, Lord. There's nobody in control of Digibyte anymore, okay? There's nobody at the helm that's able to manipulate the contracts or do anything to Digibyte. Digibyte is in itself its own version of Bitcoin, and it's inherently much more secure and a lot faster than Bitcoin, but yet the SEC and other people like to put a label on Bitcoin as a commodity. Well, that's great. Well, we're going to have to apply that label to all these other commodities that match up and actually have the same abilities and capabilities as Bitcoin. But I really wanted to talk about that today. I you know, my shows are a little erratic. I don't have a set schedule. Maybe I should start doing that. I don't know. But after a good week of being in this industry every week, but sometimes at the end of some weeks, I have something I need to say. There's something obviously I've observed, and it deserves to be exposed. I mean, John Ford is one of many who today, I'm sure, on live TV, shamed an entire industry, called it a scam, and then just walked away and washed their hands because they're entitled to their opinion, but they're not entitled to any form of accountability for the words that leave their mouth because it's an opinion. Well, that's great. You know, you're peddling an ideology, not news. Let's just be honest about it. You are entitled to your opinion, but your opinion is not news. It's not factual. It's something you pulled out of your keister for ratings. And I see it as a form of manipulation. If you have a million people tuned into your show, no different than Elon Musk posting Nazi memorabilia on his Twitter page. The bottom line is there's no accountability. They can say whatever they want, do whatever they want because they're entitled to their opinion, but their opinion is not news. That's an ideology. You're peddling an ideology. You're peddling an opinion. You're peddling something that is really of no service to anybody and carries no actual value other than your own opinion. I mean, you're not a professional in the industry. You're not in the industry. You know very little about the industry other than what bullet points that you read off a sheet of paper or look at a teleprompter and get. The bottom line is the industry itself is not speculative. The industry itself is actual industry, just like the cannabis industry, just like technology, just like any other industry. Blockchain is its own industry. And to try to bring those two together in a lump sum as a scam is just beyond me. It doesn't take much intelligence to be able to decipher that there's an actual industry that's not speculative, and then you have a speculative industry, I guess you could say, of speculative assets, which, you know, I could mint a token tomorrow, right? I could mint the token tomorrow, and that would be considered a speculative asset. But if you're minting that token for a specific reason, like a utility, then it no longer becomes a speculative. People can be speculative, but if you're creating a proof of purchase token or a proof of participation token, that is not a speculative asset. That's something that you bought for a purpose that serves a purpose. Something that someone like John Fort or other commentators found online and on mainstream media know very little about. I can guarantee you I could probably mention four or five different acronyms and abbreviations from this industry, and nobody would know what I was talking about because these people are not in the industry. They have nothing to do with the industry. They don't care about the industry. And matter of fact, when they damage the industry, they don't even blink an eye. Because to them, it's inconsequential because they're entitled to their opinion, even though their opinion is in front of millions of people and is effectively influential. Shame that it is influential because people with opinions are not part of the industry and really know very little about the industry. It's like Bill Maher coming out and saying that crypto is a scam. And well, Bill Maher is not part of the industry. He doesn't understand the industry. What he reads in the headlines, like John Fort, is typical. I mean, it's typically what happens in mainstream media. They're just reading teleprompters and bulleted points of discussion off a sheet of paper with no accountability for their words. And it's a shame. I actually used to tune into John Fort. I liked John Fort. I love the way he talks. I love his business persona. But as far as anything that he talks about when it comes to cryptocurrencies or blockchain, he's just atypical, same old cookie cutter commentator with no accountability whatsoever. And that's why I am no longer tuning in this show. Not that he'll miss me, like Twitter's not going to miss Whoopi Goldberg. But at the same time, I just don't have time to listen to someone that just thinks that, hey, I can attack, damage, and actually, you know, create my own form of misinformation by, you know, sharing my opinion, as useless as it may be. So, I've got that off my chest. I managed to say my piece about what I saw today on the other hand, or I don't even pay attention to his show anymore. And I'm not downing the guy. Like I said, I actually kind of liked John Ford. I mean, I do. I think when he talks about anything other than blockchain, I like the guy. When he talks about other things, I really don't pay attention. But this is my industry. This is my livelihood. This is how I make my money. This is how I work. This is how I pay my bills. So when someone attacks my industry and where I work and how I pay my bills, I take it personal. I really do. And I think anybody would in this industry. It's a shame that there's absolutely no accountability for anything that these people can do that could damage the industry you work in. They just come out and say whatever they want and wash their hands by saying, "Oh, well, it's part of the show, man." You know, it's on the other hand, I don't know why you don't get it. Well, I get it. I also get that you were able to say this in front of millions of people without having any accountability whatsoever. That's a problem. And that's going to continue to be a problem in this industry. You know, I remember years and years ago when this industry started, everybody was begging for Bitcoin to be in the mainstream news. Everybody wanted Bitcoin. Everybody talked about it. I was in chat groups back in 2012 and 2013. People were just, oh man, I can't wait. You know, and I remember the whole thing with the pizza deal, you know, Papa John's. You know, I remember that. Oh my God, we're in the media. Oh, look, they talked about us. They mentioned us. They mentioned Bitcoin. It was on CNN. It was on Fox News. Everybody was excited. Now look at us. The very people that we wanted to bring aboard to launch blockchain into the ether and give everybody the same opportunity of inclusion are the same people now that are attacking the industry. What we wished for years and years ago, we should have never wished for. We should have never wanted this for the industry. Because what happens when you bring mainstream media into an industry like blockchain? They manipulate the fuck out of it, like they've been doing, like Elon Musk did. It's common to see this more and more as we more and more are exposed to mainstream media. The industry itself cannot defend itself from mainstream media. You know, everything we wished for, we're now getting, and it's horrible, and it's destroying this industry, and it's destroying what blockchain stands for. And it's horrible. I'm just saying, it's redundantly stupid. That's the best way I can summarize it. It's abundantly stupid because we were wishing for this. We wanted this. We wanted blockchain to be in mainstream media. We wanted the attention. We wanted to bring it full circle. And what we did is bring in the beast. We brought the fox into the hen house. We brought the snake into the, I don't know, the whatever would not be a good place. We brought the snake into the nursery. I don't know. We brought the 30-foot boa constrictor into the child's nursery. You get what I'm trying to say. We brought the beast into our flock, and now we're dealing with it. And we're dealing with the outcome of people like John Fort and others who can just say whatever they want and get away with it because it's an opinion. It's not fact. Great. Congratulations. Anyways, now Elon Musk, not a fan. I've never been a fan of Elon Musk, and I'll explain why. Well, let me say it this way. Let me reword this if I can. I was a fan of Elon Musk. I liked Elon Musk. I appreciated what I thought Elon Musk was all about. Innovation. Bringing us into renewable energy. All these wonderful things. But after watching him in the media and paying attention to things he said over the extensive period of time that he's become more and more part of the everyday conversation, the more and more I've seen a lot of manipulation. My thought process goes back to when he was a champion of crypto and then tanked the entire industry. You know, I'm sorry, but the history itself of Elon Musk has not been good. I mean, I don't want to even talk about Tesla. I like the idea of EV cars, but there's better technology already in play that totally destroys lithium battery-powered rechargeable cars, okay? And while that technology may not be as efficient as lithium batteries are right now, however, the technology is better, and it's renewable, and there is no waste. You're not going to be throwing, dead batteries, you know, a half ton of dead batteries into a landfill. I mean, I'm just saying there's no mining really involved. The resource is abundant across this entire globe. Hydrogen power is going to be the next EV. I'm just being honest. I've done enough research into this over the last few years. I understand a lot of the people that are championing Tesla in the EV market, I think it's going to last maybe 10 years. I'm being honest with you. I honestly think rechargeable cars, we might make it 10 years. I firmly believe that hydrogen is going to take over. I firmly believe with companies like BMW and Hyundai and GMC, and there's a bunch in the actual industry when it comes to hydrogen power. But what's really important is that hydrogen power is totally 100 times better than lithium batteries and everything that goes into just getting a battery. And I'm just saying, just manufacturing a battery itself is extremely expensive. It's probably more expensive than the entire car of a Tesla. I mean, of course, I'm not astute, and I'm just, it's my opinion. I'm pulling a John Ford here. I'm just going to say my opinion, whether it's true or not. I'm just going to say it, but I'm not mainstream media, so, you know, do I have the same accountability? Sure, I should have the same accountability for my words, right? Tesla is not going to be around much longer. I'm going to be honest with you. I've listened to Elon Musk. I've listened to things he said about hydrogen power, and I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's downplaying it the best he can because hydrogen is going to destroy everything that's Tesla. The technology is becoming better and better. BMW's already got a working model that's, I mean, I think it gets 250 miles to a fill up or recharge, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is it's better. It's better technology. It's much more renewable. You're not going to have to worry about what you're going to do with your rechargeable batteries when they are no longer viable. You're not going to be putting metric tons of lithium in a landfill. I know there's recycling things going on and the technology behind it. And I still firmly believe, and I'm just being honest with you, the technology of hydrogen is going to destroy anything that's lithium. It's coming about. It's a little bit slower, and the technology's not quite there. But I believe that once it is quite there, and it shouldn't take long, we're going to see more and more cars being manufactured with hydrogen fuel cell technology than we're going to see with EV rechargeable lithium batteries. It's just, I honestly believe, it's just a matter of time. That said, I don't see Elon having the foresight when it comes to hydrogen. I see Elon downing, just like John Ford downed the entire crypto industry, Elon Musk has been downing the hydrogen fuel cell industry. Why? Well, because it's a threat. It's not something he's trying to manipulate. It's a threat to his actual business. It's a threat to Tesla. Every day that goes by, BMW is coming closer and closer, and so is Hyundai and other car manufacturers to hydrogen fuel cell technology. There's plenty of examples. There's plenty of working examples in actual cars at work right now, vehicles at work that are hydrogen powered. It's just a matter of time until it comes full circle. And I firmly believe that the industry itself is going to explode. And you're going to see more and more cars. They're going to come out with EVs. You know, Ford is and GM, and they're all coming out with EVs. You've got an EV Hummer. But the bottom line is, how long is that going to last? How long is that going to last until the technology of hydrogen supersedes everything else? And we just sit back and say, God, you know, this battery power thing was a great idea, but look at this hydrogen. I mean, NASA just recently, I forget, is it the Imperon? I think it's called. I might be wrong. I can't remember the exact name of the vehicle, but they came out, and it's a beautiful, and I'm sure it's expensive. I mean, the engine itself is probably more expensive than the entire vehicle. Are we there yet as far as mass adoption? No, absolutely not. Will we be? Yes, we will be. And I'm giving it 10 years. I'm giving it a minimal of probably 5 years before we really start seeing mainstream adoption of the possibility of hydrogen-powered vehicles. I mean, if someone in the industry is going to come out and say, check this out, and it's going to become a hit. I'm looking at BMW and Mercedes and Hyundai doing something. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying it's my own opinion. But back to Elon Musk and Twitter. I was going to touch on this. I don't really like Elon Musk. Like I said, I liked Elon Musk in the very early stages. Well, not like I said, but I'm to reiterate. I liked Elon Musk in the very early stages of Elon Musk. I liked Elon Musk when I thought and believed that he was an innovator and someone that definitely deserved our attention. After watching him enter into the blockchain industry and then him spinning his untruths, you know, like him supposedly meeting with the Dogecoin creators, which turned out to be a lie. I have very little faith in anything Elon Musk says. And after watching everything play out on Twitter, now don't get me wrong, I am not a huge Twitter fan. I think it's one of the most toxic places in the world online. It's dangerous. Anti-Semitism, racism, and everything is abundantly alive and well on Twitter. I just see people like, you know, I see it enough to know that it still exists. They may have 95% of it, like they said, but it still exists. It's still there, and it's still a viable part of the toxicity that is Twitter. Elon Musk taking over Twitter, I expected much better from someone that is a proclaimed genius. I don't see him as a genius. I've never actually seen him as a genius. I just can't. I can't equate the two. I don't understand why people call him a genius. Money does not mean genius. You having billions of dollars does not make you a genius. I'm sorry, Jeff Bezos is not a genius. You can be lucky and become a billionaire in this world. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Or you can be born into it. Or you can be 12 years old and that's your claim to fame when you sold some video game that you crafted out of code. Whatever. The bottom line to me is, who are you today? What is your character today? Who are you as a human being today? I don't care about how you were 12 years ago. I want to know what kind of a human being you are today. Well, Elon Musk put himself out on full display for the entire world, and we know what kind of man Elon Musk is by his own actions. I think what really upset me the most, and I know this probably upset a lot of liberals, and I'm not a liberal. I don't really want to call myself a Democrat. I'm an American. I see what's going on in America, and I'm going to vote for what I think is best for America. And definitely not the Republican Party. I was kind of stuck in a conundrum the other day because a group that I'm working with was using some sort of Donald Trump inflection, saying that he's going to fast-pace cryptocurrency. He's going to do good things for the crypto world. No, he's not. He's been quoted three times now. Donald Trump's been quoted three times. In one quote, I do remember him saying that he doesn't like the American dollar having competition. So, you know, Bitcoin is not going to be a competitor for the American dollar because, you know, it's not going to be that good for you. I can't do his voice, but yeah, it's the greatest ever. My name is Donald Trump. I don't know. I don't have that ability to. I can't do stupid. Sorry. I can do a lot of impersonations. I just can't do stupid. I try. I really do. I think I'm doing a fine job right now. Thank you very much. No, but yeah. So his tweeting of the Nazi courier pigeon picture and saying, "My, how things have changed," or "times have changed," did not sit well with me. It did not sit well with me that he was wearing a leather costume meant for Lucifer on Halloween. Oh, I know. It's Halloween, guys. He should be able to wear whatever he wants. Chewbacca outfit. He wants to dress up like a giant penis. Hey, congratulations. It's Halloween. You're allowed to do whatever you want. But if you look at the actual outfit that he's wearing, it's satanic. I mean, it's not Halloween fun satanic. It's fucking satanic. This is going to sound weird. Having been a medieval reenactor, yeah, I used to wear, you know, leather outfits kind of like his. I was looking at the actual quality. It's real leather. There's nipples in the chest plate. And people were saying stuff like, this looks like it could be made of human skin. I don't think it's made of human skin, but there are nipples in the chest plate where it does look like it was made to look like human skin. It's probably, hopefully, leather. But it still looks like human skin, and that's the suit of Lucifer, I do believe. I was just reading some stuff. Some people were writing some stuff, looking at his outfit and making their own opinions. And somebody said, if it was up to me, I would say that this is something a lot more serious than a Halloween costume. This looks like something that matters and means something to Elon Musk and his mother. But what I saw on Twitter with Elon Musk was distasteful, not very professional in any way, shape, or form, childish at best, and one of the greatest reasons why I don't want to use Twitter anymore. It has nothing to do with his persona and the things he says. It has to do with the fact that right away we saw the ambitions of Elon Musk. We saw what he was wanting to do. I think it's a sham. I really do. I think the whole $8 a month for the thing, it's all, I mean, this is, I mean, let's just be honest. Okay, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Elon Musk literally bought a lemonade stand painted blue and then proceeded to pee in the lemonade and wonder why nobody wants it. And he paid, was it 10 times the actual price? That's the way I'm looking at it. He bought Twitter and then he pissed in it. He destroyed what Twitter was supposed to be in a matter of what, a week? Of course, it's not destroyed because the people on the right, the extremists and the right side of the equation are all about Elon Musk, even though just a couple months ago they couldn't stand him or his EV cars. It's just funny how people can change their opinion about someone based on popularity and, you know, Billy Bob said he's great, so therefore I'm not going to get into the MAGA thing. I don't like politics. I don't like cults. I'm watching MAGA and I'm watching what they do, and none of it has ever sat good with me since 2016. I'm an American. I love my country, and that's it. I don't care about the politics. I don't care about the bullshit. I'm not a political person, but though I can be, we're all political in one way or another. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We're all political. It's just on what level. I don't like politics, and I've never been into politics. Even though I do comment on politics, I think it's all just absurd, really. I don't care for Elon Musk and his politics, but I equally don't care about Elon Musk, period. My hat's off to him. Congratulations on buying Twitter and paying 10 times the actual amount and then proceeding to basically piss in the Kool-Aid, or I should say lemonade. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm using foul language, and I wasn't bred for quality. I'm sorry. I'm just a dude with a voice and my opinion, you know? But I'm trying to hold myself accountable to my opinion, at least when I'm saying what I have to say. I at least think about what I'm saying. I'm not reading some printed bullet points on a piece of paper and a teleprompter and then go home and enjoy my night without feeling any pressure to be held accountable at all for anything I say in front of millions and millions of people. I might have 200 people listen to this podcast, but I still would feel accountable for the things I say. That's the difference between me, and that's the difference between a mainstream influencer or someone in mainstream media. They're going to say and do whatever they want. They don't care. They don't care that they reach, you know, 10 million people when they open their mouths. So there's no accountability there. It's just an opinion. So it's okay. I'm allowed to have an opinion. Even if it damages your industry, it's okay because I'm allowed to have an opinion. But there's no accountability for my opinion, even though I'm talking to millions of people. That's a scam in itself. But anyways, back to Elon. Not a fan. I don't like what he's done with Twitter. I don't think he's going to do well with Twitter. He might. I mean, it might turn around. And you know, who knows? Become the biggest thing in the entire world. He's going to bring Vine back. Woo! You know, maybe he can bring Craigslist back too. And, you know, maybe let's just, you know, bring it all in there. You know, let's compound the issue. Let's put in Craigslist, Vine, and Pinterest, and whatever, and blow it up and make it some huge platform everybody's going to want to use, because, you know, TikTok's not cool, right? You know, we can't. I mean, it's a lost cause, dude. I mean, if someone said, "Hey, here's all the money in the world to buy your own social platform," what are you going to buy? Well, I'm not going to buy Facebook. Sure as fuck, I'm not buying Twitter. You know what I'm going to buy that I know it's going to do well? TikTok. Maybe Snapchat. If I was going to spend the money, I'd be using the platform that the kids are using, because they're going to continue to use them. And they're going to continue to flourish. And TikTok has already seen a massive amount of adoption compared to Twitter, especially recently. And an online social thing that I have barely any knowledge of called Mastodon, I think in the week, this last week alone, signed over 1 million people, because people are looking at Twitter and what Elon Musk did and saying, this is bullshit. It's supposed to be an open place. We're all allowed to have our own opinions. I'm not downing opinion. I'm not trying to censor anybody's opinion. I'm just saying, if you're going to have an opinion, at least be accountable for it. At least have some accountability. Of course, that's just me. On the other hand, I'm just kidding. I don't have another hand. On my other hand, I got a middle finger. No, I'm not a fan of Elon Musk. Not a fan of what he's done with Twitter. And not a fan of him as a business person. someone that's an innovator, yeah, maybe. I think the SpaceX program is pretty smart. All that other stuff he's doing, I think it's kind of smart. But again, this isn't Elon Musk. It's not like Elon Musk goes to every day and does all these things. He's got his own engineers, his own people who are doing all these things. He's just the mastermind, the spider in the middle of the web. But don't give him too much credit, because what we've seen so far, and when he's actually brought out in the open and said, okay, let's show us your genius, Elon. Please, just intubate us with the massiveness of your genius. Please, we want to be just covered in your genius. And we get, you know, a couple drops, and obviously there's not much genius. I'm sorry. It's my opinion. I'm not saying Elon Musk isn't smart. Don't get me wrong. I really don't think he's a genius. I really don't see that. I don't see that. I mean, he didn't exude that on Twitter. He exuded on Twitter what I expected from a spoiled brat with some money who just bought his buddy's lemonade stand down the road. I'm just saying, it's kind of like what it is. Like, you know, little Jimmy went out of his house every day and he saw little Bobby up the road with a lemonade stand. And little Jimmy wanted that lemonade stand. But every day he just went out there and, oh, there's Bobby up the road selling his lemonade. So one day Jimmy, you know, comes up with $200 and goes to Bobby and says, let me buy your lemonade stand. You know, okay, great. Well, now that you own it, nobody wants to come to it. I mean, that's basically what it is. Everybody liked Bobby. But now that Jimmy owns the lemonade stand, nobody wants any fucking lemonade from Jimmy. We want Bobby back, but there was no Bobby. But the point is, everything seemed a lot better without Elon, and things now seem a lot worse with Elon. That's basically the bottom line. I really don't care. But that's, you know, that's the industry as a whole. The professionals in this industry, the people in this industry that work in this industry every day, that work, eat, and play, and do the things that people like John Fort say we don't do, actually use crypto every day. I mean, I've literally paid every bill for my household for the last 2 years working in the crypto industry. So I use crypto every day. I go grocery shopping because of my crypto. I don't understand. Nobody's using crypto. It's kind of slap in the face, you know. It's like, well, you know, hey John, I hate to tell you, everything I've paid for the last 2 years has come from my work in the industry, including the car and you know, my monthly rent payment and the electric. And how do you figure nobody's actually using crypto to pay for stuff? Let's have this conversation, okay? I mean, I don't know. I seem to be doing fairly well in the industry. I'm not a millionaire. I'm not wealthy, but I'm able to take care of my family and pay my bills most of the time. There are problems in the industry. There is a lot of communications problems, and we have a lot of communication gaps in the industry because the industry itself is so inclusive that you're going to run into communication issues. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, you can't take. But like this one project I'm working with right now. I'm not going to name names, but it's a project I'm working with right now. It's a great project. It's a smart project. Don't get me wrong. But if you take 160 people from 160 different countries or regions and put them all into one group, you're going to have some communication problems. There's going to be some communication issues. There's going to be some misunderstandings. There's going to be some people going, this is not what Igor, tell this guy. Somehow in his language that I don't understand what he wants me to do. This is not, no. I mean, that's kind of what the industry's like. I've been in this industry for a long time. And I can remember being brought into meetings and nobody spoke English. And they were like, can you write that for me in text? Because I think I'm going to, I have no idea what you're telling me. I have no idea what you're saying. I don't know what you're talking about. That's kind of what happened to me the first few times I was brought into the industry. As exciting as it was, there was such a, you know, a cultural gap and a language gap, but we're all in it together, so we're a melting pot. When you get involved with some of these projects, that's exactly what it is. It's a melting pot. You're in a melting pot of personalities, characters, euphemisms, slangs. Communication is probably the biggest problem in blockchain. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. It really is. I mean, if you pull me into a meeting with 20 different people from 20 different regions, Good luck understanding me. I'm an American. Literally, this is what happened to me the other day. A guy I'm working with, or working next to, or with, or I guess you say for, he asked me if I was up for something. He says, "Are you up for this? Are you up for this?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I'm down." "Oh, so you don't want to do it?" That's literally what happened. I'm not kidding. He's asking me, "Man, are you up for this? Can you do this? Are you up for it?" And I said, "Yeah, man, I'm down." He's like, "Oh, so you can't do it? You're in repair? Is something wrong? Are you okay?" That literally happened to me. I'm not even joking. And I'm like, no. That's American slang for yes. I mean, I'm down, man. I'm good. Yeah, woohoo. I'm just saying that actually happened. I mean, I'm not even joking. He's like, "Are you down?" I'm like, "Are you up for this?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'm down." "Oh, so you don't think you can do this, huh?" That really happened to me. And it's culture too, because there's so many cultures. And I hate to say it, as an American, a lot of people don't like Americans. I run into that all the time. There's bias in the inclusion. There's bias towards me, and I'm an American, and I'm a very neutral American. I really don't like to be political. I don't believe in politics. I'm all about blockchain's inclusion. I'm all about helping other countries get on the same page and be able to leverage the abilities and the opportunities that exist in blockchain. It's there, and it's viable, and it's a real economy. It's a real part of the future of humanity. I mean, it's going to happen. It's crossing borders, and people are flowing into the industry and the economy at hand. But there are things that need to change. And obviously, when I mentioned earlier about utility, that's really where we are right now. I know plenty of people in the industry that are looking at the speculative side of the industry and trying to get out of the speculative side of the industry. And by doing that, you're doing something that's considered a utility. You're creating an actual utility, not something that's going to sit in your wallet and you're going to wait until it goes up so you can sell it, because those days are ending. They really are. If you're getting involved in crypto to make money, you're better off investing in startups than trying to invest in projects that have been longstanding and in the industry for the last few years. Yes, they're great projects. Yes, they have rock solid foundations, but they're not able to keep up with the future. They're not able to keep up with the demands of the future. And if the industry says we're straying away from being speculative into more a utility realm, then it's projects that are based on just speculative that are going to suffer the most. Like I said, the blockchain industry itself and the markets are two different beasts. The markets represent speculative assets. The industry represents the actual work. And there are plenty of projects right now that are coming out and saying, "We are minting our token, but our token is not to be speculative. We're not minting this token so that it can sit in your wallet and make you money. We're minting this token so you can use our services. We're minting this token so you can buy this. We're minting this token so you can get a discount. We're minting this NFT so you can get a discount." It's basically, I know this is going to sound like a really poor opinion, or maybe, but I tend to look at blockchain a lot like I look at yard sales and flea markets. It's an open opportunity. It's an open economy. You don't need anybody's permission per se, unless your homeowners association or the area you live has these issues, but you don't need anybody's permission to have a yard sale. You don't need anybody's permission to have a garage sale. You open up your garage, you put a few things on display, put a sign, at the end of the road, a yard sale, big arrow pointing, and people pull up, and you get to make money by selling your goods, your products, your the things you own to other people without needing the government's oversight, without really needing anybody to watch what you're doing or see what you're doing. You're doing your own thing, and it's a way to make money. People do it every day in this country, especially on the weekends. There's yard sales and flea markets everywhere across the world. Don't laugh at me. I'm going somewhere with this. I know I'm trying to antiquate or trying to... I'm putting blockchain and yard sales in the same equation. I know that doesn't make sense, but it will in a second. Blockchain is the same ordeal. You're allowed to create your own product and actually sell it to other people. The problem is that so many people got involved with blockchain to make money, to become millionaires overnight, buy a $30 worth of tokens, wake up tomorrow and you got $11 million. That's not what's happening anymore. Now people are moving towards utility because that gets us out of being speculative. That gets us out of being an asset that the SEC is going to be peering at and saying, "Oh, How much you got to, who, you can't sell that. No. Well, that's why we need to move towards utility. That's why the industry is moving towards utility. And that's why people like John Fort, who come out and say the whole thing is an entire scam, really should be held accountable for their words, because that is not the industry. You're talking about the markets. You want to say that the crypto markets are a scam? John Fort, you're my buddy. I'm right there with you, man. Hey, let's hug. Let's go out and have pizza. I'd hang out with you all day if you wanted to call the markets a scam, if you wanted to call exchanges a scam. But if you want to talk about the industry, the technology, and the people and call them a scam, you just made the biggest enemy in the world. And I really feel for you, because you I'm not the only person who just watched everything you said and said, well, hey, I work in this industry. I'm part of this industry. I work with these people. I know what's going on in this industry. Yes, there's speculative assets. Yes, I totally agree with you. The market itself is bullshit, but you can't shit on the entire industry, pal. You just can't do it. I'm not going to let you. I don't have any say in it, because I'm just some guy at home talking. My name is Jeff Kaufman. I'm the founder of BetaSyndicate.com. I've been in the blockchain industry since 2012. I bought my first Bitcoins at 0.22 cents. And I later sold them at a dollar something to buy a lawyer. I was going through a custody battle. I was a single parent. I had been a single parent since 2008 at that point. I remember getting a little information about Bitcoin, being curious about it, followed a link somewhere, ended up on some website, and put in my PayPal, and I bought, I forget, it was either 2013 or 2113, I can't remember, it's been a while. And it went up, and it went down, and it went up, and then when it went up, I sold everything I had and was putting the money to get a lawyer, which I didn't end up needing, but... And I won custody of my children, and it's a long story. I ended up becoming my own lawyer and fighting a law firm and won, and it'd probably make a really good movie if someone's interested. But, I actually wrote a story about it. It was called The Day I Feared and The Day I Won, and it basically just tells people what I went through, man. As a single parent with two little girls and a boy, it was not easy. The resources are not there for you, and if they are there for you, they're created for women. I was actually on WIC. I don't know if anybody knows what WIC is, but WIC was designed for breastfeeding women and pregnant women, so they get the right amount of proteins and everything they need, enzymes and everything, you know, and milk and cheese products and cereal and stuff like that. I was actually a man, and I was able to get WIC, even though I was not a pregnant woman, or no, I do not have boobs. Last time I checked, I think that'd be cool, but no, I do not. But anyways, I'm just saying, I don't know. It's just, I don't know, man. God, this industry is so weird, and it's so funny, because you have people that, like, consider themselves to be an authority on the industry, but they know nothing about what's going on in the industry. They know about Bitcoin. They know Bitcoin crashed. They don't know nothing about, like, SpiderDAO. They know nothing about Zaliqua's gaming platform that's coming out, a gaming console. They know nothing about, like, SpiderDAO. It has, you know, these are products, people. These are actual hardware products that are built with blockchain in mind. Now, like Zaliqua's gaming console, I have no idea what it's going to do. I have no idea how good the quality will be or anything like that. But I'm standing behind them, championing them, because they're doing something nobody else is doing. They created a viable product. And I think it's going to do good. I don't know, but I hope it will. And I think we're going to see more and more of this. We're going to see more and more of these industries, or more and more of this from the industry, more and more products coming out that are tangible, real-world products that are actually going to serve a purpose. It's just a matter of time until everything gets aligned and it works for the better. But we're not going to get there. We are not going to get there as an industry as long as we allow people like John Fort and Bill Maher the ability to say stupid shit and not be held accountable. I'm calling him out. I mean, I really am. I think the whole industry should call him out. But what I really was worrying me is that nobody else was calling him out. They were in agreement. A lot of people were in agreement with him. That's because they're not really in the industry. They're not. They're floating on the surface. They're traders. They're day traders. They might maybe wrote an article or published something about blockchain. They're not in the industry. They know nothing about it. They're sitting behind a desk and working in a whole different field, but yet they consider themselves authoritative over the industry, and they have a right to express an opinion that's going to damage the industry. Like Bill Maher, fuck him. Bill Maher doesn't know jack shit about the industry, but everything's a scam. right? Because he knows so much about the industry. And he doesn't know anything about the industry. He doesn't understand the industry, and neither does John Fort. And it's not just these guys. And I'm sorry I'm calling them out. I think it's my right as someone who works in the industry to say, look, what you said was wrong. You're not going to retract it because you said it was just on the other hand. You know, you're allowed to have two different opinions on your show. Congratulations. Not a lot of propagandists get to do that. But, you know, most of them have to stay within a certain alignment. I'm happy that you're allowed to have opposing views. It's just too bad that you end with a negative view and call the entire industry I work in a scam. You know, you want to call meme tokens? There's plenty of scams out there. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try to justify you calling an industry a scam because there are plenty of examples of scams. There's plenty of problems in the industry. But that speculative side, FTX, Binance, they only represent the market side of the industry. They don't represent the actual industry. And I'm sorry. I love CZ. I love Binance. And I like CZ, and I think he's a really good businessman. I think he's done really well for himself. I mean, of course, he's done extremely well for himself. The industry has done extremely well for him. But CZ represents a very small portion of the industry that has the largest effect over the industry, the markets. He represents an exchange. He represents the wealth of the industry, but he does not actually, and I'm sorry, he does not actually represent the industry. He represents the speculative side of the industry, not the actual working industry that's trying to make blockchain what it should be. It's unfortunate that this is how things play out. I wanted to mention a project, and I'm just going to say this real quick. I'm not going to go into details. I wanted to mention Illumishare SRG. I'm going to do another show about Illumishare, but today for me was about Elon Musk and people that are in the mainstream media that are capable of affecting the industry with their words and not being held accountable because it's an opinion or it's something you read off a teleprompter. It's not really my thoughts. It's the show, man. Don't hate the messenger, hate the game, right? Well, you know, the messenger should be attuned to the game and be able to take responsibility for his words instead of saying, well, man, hey, you never watched my show before, obviously. Let me explain something to you. I'm allowed, or what I do, it's called On the Other Hand. And what I usually do is I come out and say something on a positive. It's kind of like a compliment sandwich, okay? It's a compliment sandwich, okay? First you have a layer of good and you have a layer of bad and you put them together and that's the show. Well, that's not how it works in the real world. If I were to walk in to a movie theater and scream fire and everybody got out and people got trampled, I'd be accountable for my words, would I not be? But if I run into a movie theater and say, oh, not a fire, you know, everything's cool, you can't do that in the same sentence. Fire! I'm just kidding, guys. It's okay. On the other hand, there isn't a fire. Oh, hey, everybody calm down. On the other hand. My name is Jeff Kaufman. Thanks for tuning in to Beta Syndicate, the smash and grab show. I'm available for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. Really, the bottom line is in this industry, if you're not really part of the industry, you just keep your mouth shut. You're not helping anybody in the industry. And it's a shame that you're allowed to do the damage you do and then just, you know, oh man, hey, you know, sorry, dude, it's just, you know, it's my show, man. I know I called the entire industry you work in a scam, but my actual knowledge about the industry doesn't really equate to being an authority on the industry, but I'm going to give you my opinion anyways, even though it's completely false and wrong, but it's my right to be able to spread misinformation and cast an opinion about an entire industry that apparently I know very little about. And what you may know about wouldn't cover one sheet of paper compared to the several dozen articles worth of thick notebooks that I've filled up with information about the industry. It's a shame that people with very little insight or knowledge of the industry is allowed to voice their opinion. I've actually was watching a young lady not too long ago that was a Fox business guest quite frequently and proclaimed herself to be a sort of, I'm not going to say her name, but proclaimed herself to be a, you know, basically a very knowledgeable key person in the industry, but yet very little insight at all about the industry. You know, obviously lives a very encapsulated life. If all you can talk about is Bitcoin and Ethereum, you're not in the industry. If all you have to talk about is the markets, and the values and price predictions and drops and reasons why, you're not in the industry. You're on the outskirts of the industry, pointing fingers and doing damage with no accountability. If you're not in the industry, then why the fuck are you an authority on the industry? And why the fuck are you even expressing your opinion? You know nothing about the industry other than what you, like I said, read from a teleprompter or given in bulleted points on a piece of paper. I have no respect for anybody that's willing to sell their soul for ratings. I remember a late night show with Dave Letterman, and his guest was Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly came out, and Dave Letterman tore him apart. I mean, just tore him apart. And he says, "You know what I think of you? I think of you as a goon." And to be real, I see that basically. I mean, I hate to say this, but that's what I see in mainstream media. That's what I see from people like John Ford and people like Bill Maher. They're goons. They're not out there to help anybody. They're peddling a very poor equation of their intelligent knowledge or their intelligence about an industry. There's very little substance to it. It's just their opinion, and it's damaging, and it really upsets me because I work in this industry. It's my bread and butter. It's what I do for a living. I'm not out scamming people. I'm not a scammer. I work as a content marketer. I market. I publish articles. I help projects. I'm in the middle of projects. I've done over 20 ICOs, and I'm not any like, what's his name there? I'm sorry, I can't think of his name, McAfee. I'm not John McAfee, okay? I'm not doing ICOs and walking away with millions, okay? I'm getting paid by the hour to do a job writing content. And I'm accountable for that content. And I try to hold myself to a standard. And I work very diligently at making sure that I'm not spreading scams. I'm not part of a scam project or helping a scam project or producing content that's going to hurt people. That's my business. And if I get involved in a project that I think is a scam or becoming a scam or smells fishy, I remove all support of that project immediately. I will not tolerate misconceptions. I don't tolerate lies. I don't tolerate people telling me one thing and then telling me another. I don't like the story to change over the course of a 3-day period. If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. If you're going to pay, you're going to pay. If you're not, then, you know, I'm moving on. That's the industry. But I am not supportive of scams in this industry. I will not be supportive of scams in this industry. Something I think is a scam, I won't even touch it. I write about my own perspective. I write about what I think and I read. I make my own mind up and my own opinion. And I write about something if it excites me, if I like it, if I think it's worthwhile, if it adds value to blockchain, I'll write about it. Nobody's paying me. If they do pay me, I disclaim it. And that's my industry, and I support it wholeheartedly because I've watched it evolve since 2012. I doubt very much that John Fort or Bill Maher were even concerned about blockchain or anything having to do with crypto in 2012. I doubt any of them had anything to do with it at all. It wasn't even a whisper or a concept in their mind. This is part of their job. This is what they're doing. This is their industry, media, mainstream media. That's their industry. Well, I think mainstream media is a bigger scam than blockchain. And I think people like John Ford need to wake up and need to start being accountable and acting accountable. Because you're damaging something that is vastly much more powerful and more trustworthy than the industry you work in. Mainstream media, in my mind, is the biggest scam in the world. And people like John Ford are the people that peddle that scam. It's a shame, and I feel sorry for him because he's not in the industry. And someone like that calling the industry a scam, you basically just signed your own little, not death warrant, but you basically just signed your own resignation to the industry. You can't call the industry a scam and then come walk back in a few months and say, "Hey guys, remember what I said to do? I know when I said the whole thing was a scam, but listen, no. I'm taking it all back now because this happened or that happened, and that's what's going to happen." It's just like Elon Musk. "Well, I just might have to sign the bankruptcy." No shit, Sherlock. You just paid 10 times the amount for a fucking product that everybody liked and then pissed in it and handed it back to him. Good luck. Excuse my language. I apologize. Beta Syndicate is an online emergence magazine. Nothing and everything, nothing at all, that you hear or see or read on BetaSyndicate.com or hear in our podcasts or hear on our videos or watch in our videos is meant or should be misconstrued as financial advice. We are not financial advisors. Conduct your own due diligence and contact a licensed financial broker or licensed financial advisor before taking any risks with your hard-earned money. Do not invest in projects that you hear about or read about online. Do your own due diligence, do your own research, and contact and consult a licensed financial advisor. This is BetaSyndicate.com's The Smash and Grab Show, the greatest voice of crypto, Jeff Kaufman at the helm. Fuck Elon Musk and John Fort, man. I wish you the best, dude. But, you know, don't call my industry a scam because you work in the biggest scam in the industry. That's right. You, Mr. Mainstream Media Guy. My name is Jeff Kaufman. Have a great day, Crypto World.